And welcome back to De Dua Tarda, Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Luann Stacey, and joining me for the next part is our next candidate is David Dibel. Welcome.
Thank you, Luann.
It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Yeah, we used to be neighbors.
I know. So I guess we'll share, because you're one of the candidates. I'm not sure if a lot of people know who you are, so okay. Maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, well... I'm David A. Dibel, because there's like five in Gunawagi, and I started using the A so that we can distinguish from each other. So I'm a twin and number 11 of 12 children. My father is Matthew Dibel. He's the son of Frank Dibel and Madeline Norton. My mother is Margaret Thomas. She's the daughter of Frank Thomas and Roseanne Jacobs. I've lived in this community all my life. I've done a great deal of work here in residential construction. And I had moved into occupational health and safety and was the safety inspector on the Mercy Bridge project for the first 3 years. For the last 8 years, I've been working for the Assembly of First Nations as their special advisor in emergency management. During this time, I also did a three-year work interchange with then INAC, now Indigenous Services Canada. I managed a national $4 million envelope developing and managing project proposal for First Nations across Canada, basically helping them develop their emergency management regimes and their relationships with both federal and provincial governments. At the same time, I went back to school and re-educated myself. So I mentioned this during Candidates Night that I have an honor certificate in occupational health and safety. I earned a Bachelor's of Technology degree in emergency management and just recently graduated from Carleton University with a graduate diploma in Indigenous Policy and Administration, which is directly related to band council administration and the policies.
Oh, okay.
It basically dealt with a lot of the competencies that band council chiefs should have going into community politics. So that, I think, gives me a kind of insight into what will be expected of me should I get elected. And I'm counting on some support in Gunawagi, because I think it's time for Gunawagi to have a bit of a change now in the kind of leaders that represent them. Not to disparage any of the previous or past or historical leaders, they all did wonderful jobs according to their time. But I think now Gunawagi is ready for a more educated, a better prepared representative, someone who knows the language of the government, can engage with them. And I've done all this during my time in Ottawa, both at a non-governmental level, the federal level, the provincial level. I've dealt with several different kinds of departments, and a lot of them, as Clinton just mentioned, that previously that I have been in contact with them or have worked proposals or projects with them for First Nations and helping them develop. So I'm aware of all of the high-profile issues that not only Gunawagi is going through, but a lot of, I would say, most First Nations across Canada.
Okay. You talked a little bit about why you were seeking a position. You're bringing a lot of information back and have the skill. Are there other things of why you would like to see the change?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, and I say this all the time, that adaptation equals resilience equals sustainability. So I think we're ready to adapt again to a new Gunawagi. We have to be ready, I think, and I mentioned this also previously, that for what's coming, because the federal government is devolving the Department of Indian and Northern Affairs. So once that's done, all of the responsibilities will be sent to the provinces, and we're going to have to deal with the provinces, and the provinces don't necessarily care what First Nations have to say, because all they want really is the resources, which happen to be on a lot of our land. So
yeah,
we have to be ready to deal with them on at their level, on their playing field.
Okay. What are some of the issues that you feel need to be dealt with immediately within the community?
Well, the high-profile ones, of course, are substance abuse. Everybody's well aware of the incident that happened just recently, and that actually brings everything to a head. I mean, who would have expected that something like that would have happened? I mean, and there has been other incidents similar to that that have happened just within the last couple of years. So that's bringing everything to a head. So the substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or drugs, I think it's been prevalent throughout Guanahuage at different times, sometimes more, sometimes less. But I think the recent incidents bring it to a head, and that, you know, we really need to deal with this now before we lose any other people to it.
Yeah. Are there any other issues that you
housing
feel?
Is a critical shortage, and you know, a lot of our people are living out of community, and I don't think that although it's necessary at this point, they have to live somewhere. It shouldn't be like that. I mean, I think there's enough land here. We just have to come up with the right idea at the right time and build resources or housing of some sort, whether it's small apartment buildings or it can't be just more houses all the time, because that's the struggle with the government getting the funding for that. And it might be a struggle getting funding for apartment buildings also, but it'll solve a lot of problems all at once rather than one house at a time. And as Clinton mentioned, land is always an issue. We've had the scenery project hanging over our head for years now, and it moved, it didn't move, it went backwards. And I think it's time that we address that. Guanahuage as a whole has to decide what they want from that project, and we need to get that done now. As the land is, everything's tied to the land. The more land we have, the more houses or apartments we can build, more industry we can start up. And I think that mostly is a real critical issue. A couple other things. Well, like I said, everything's tied to the land. So employment. If we have land, we can create industry that'll create jobs. We need to deal with the coming cannabis. I mean, there's people in this community that are for it. There are people that are against it. I myself would like a really comprehensive look at it from all sides. I mean, there's benefits, there's advantages and disadvantages, but one of them is going to outweigh the other. And in light of that, we also have a zero tolerance policy. So if we're going to actually address this issue and maybe accept it, then we have to decide what we're going to do with that policy. Either we abide by it or we don't, or maybe possibly amend it.
Okay. I'll ask this question now. I asked it of Clinton and some of the other members regarding traditional government. Our community has been talking about it, I know, since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it something that's a reality? And are we at the point where it is a transition time that maybe we could see it? And can it coexist or work?
Okay, I think this is a really good question. And I think it's quite possible, but it would have to be something that we carefully develop. The Indian Act doesn't allow for the recognition of traditional community chiefs. But as we move forward in self-determination, self-government, I think it's a critical part of our identity that we have to maintain. And I think it's possible to have a blended government where it isn't always catering to the federal government's requirements of us as band councils. I think we, as representatives of the community, we also have to represent the community. So, you know, the community has a say on everything, and the traditional governments, whether it's an elders council made up of the elders of the longhouses or community chosen, I think it could be, we could have a real shot at it with a blended government.
Okay.
I think there's room for that.
Okay. What is your vision for Guanahuage's future, next 5 years, 10 years?
Okay. So my vision is to see a prosperous community engaging, participating, and developing in our self-determination or self-government as an educated and equal partner with both provincial and federal entities. I think we need to develop, as small as we are, we need to develop a strong economy one way or the other. Our community is hurting from lack of employment, and developing and standing strong in all areas, I think, is a must for us. So I see that not in 5 years. I see that that's a long-term plan. That's a long-term fight, because, as I mentioned, the Department of Indian Affairs will be devolved eventually, and then, you know, we're going to have to work with the provinces, and that's where really all the programs and services come from. The federal government's just a funding agency.
Okay. So why should the community come out and vote for you on Saturday? That's a trick question.
Okay. Well, hopefully because they like what I'm saying and what I can offer and what I bring to the table. And a lot of people know me. I mean, I've lived here all of my life. I have one son, Brent, who lives in Toronto. And, you know, I hope they agree with my vision as I've described it. And like all of the knowledge, skills, and ability that I can bring to the table with all of the education that I've gone back and gotten for myself.
Those are good answers. You have about 2 minutes and a half, so I don't know if there's something else you wanted to share with the community.
I would just like to say that good luck to all of the candidates and the incumbents. There was some really good speeches given on Candidates Night, and I hope I was one of them. And that, you know, vote your heart. Take a good look at what the community needs. We can't be stagnant or static in one position. I think it's time for us to grow and to show a different iteration of Ganawage as an independent community. I'm all for that, and I'm behind that, regardless of who gets in.
Yeah, I guess that was one of the questions, is the community ready for this change? Because you hear it a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's been talked about for the last few elections, I think. But I think it's time for it now. We have some really strong candidates in there with some really comprehensive educational backgrounds. And I think it's time to give them a chance to speak and represent us.
I think one of the things that I keep asking candidates when I have a little bit of time is, you know, do you think at this point in time that we're ready for this change? And are we, you know, where do we stand? Where do you stand in terms of language and culture and things? Because I think that's an important mm-hmm. issue as well.
Oh, well, that's part of our identity. And if we don't have identity, as Pierre Elliott Trudeau said, that if you no longer speak your language and no longer practice your culture, you will be assimilated. So I'm for all programs that encourage the revitalization of our language and our culture. And despite the differences between the two longhouses, they are still providing culture, and people are still participating in it. And I'm all behind that. And I think there should be more of it. And I hope the new cultural center gets built, regardless of where it is, because it's a real key for our community in maintaining our culture.
Yeah, absolutely. You got about 30 seconds. Last pitch.
Well, July 7th is Saturday. I hope everybody comes out, regardless of your views, regardless of who you're going to vote for. Just come out and vote, because real change requires real participation.
Well, thank you, David, for coming in. And I wish you all the best. And we'll take a break and we'll be right back.